The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker show here on Biz Radio, Kent Business Radio and channelradio.co.uk. It is Tuesday, the 1st of August, and you are listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, the stonkingly gorgeous Jewel Serkin.
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Hello, I can't see you.
No, we're probably just as well, given your present demeanour, may we say.
What are you trying to say?
Well, I don't know, a little bit on the spring in the step side, I would say.
I'm happy at the moment.
Yes, you are.
Well, yeah. I am. Very don't nice start
very
already.
Very nice to see you, not your usual curmudgeonly self.
Don't start.
Could love be in the air, perhaps?
Don't start. I'll tell you what, I haven't seen you for ages.
No. Well, it's only a month.
Yeah, it's a long time, though.
Well, yeah. In the business, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and?
You're still on a world tour, because I invited you to the fashion show we're doing at Port Lim Hotel
I'd
in September, and you can't come. You're in Asia or something.
I'm in Hong Kong.
Hong Kong.
I'm at the Super Return Asia Conference, actually.
You're at the who?
At the Super Return Asia Conference.
Are you? Super Return?
Yeah.
Is that like a,
that
a,
is like
a special British Rail day pass or something. That's like what it sounds like.
It's like an emerging market conference. Yes, I will be doing the tweets and some of the photography at the conference.
Posh.
My new husband is, of course, a headline speaker.
Is he speaking? Is he keynote?
He is.
Is he?
He's getting good at it. Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah, he's getting good at it. Yeah.
Do you let him get a word in edgeways?
Well, I heckle.
I was going to say, yeah, as soon as he gets up to speak, you go, Gavin.
I go, no.
Gavin, no.
But I do choose his ties and things.
Oh,
as
do
well.
You?
But more excitingly, what I've been doing, he has very cracked feet, my new husband. Awful feet. I don't know what your feet are like. I'm going to look in a minute.
Yeah, I would.
Listener, we'll have a look. We'll get his socks off.
Yeah.
It is hot, so he's probably got his Speedos and his flip-flops on. I haven't checked. But the lovely Suzette from She and Me, has given me these beautiful lemongrass oil, natural ingredients, all handmade. Justin's peering over my shoulder.
Yeah.
On my left. It's a grapefruit oil one, a mandarin oil
one. And you're putting it on Gavin's feet?
Every night, when I can catch him.
Why would you do that? No. Why would you make your husband's feet smell like a citrus farm? Why would you do that?
And there's a lemongrass one, which is really lovely. No, because he's got craters. I mean, he has got... You could fall down a crater in
not
his
trotters.
Heels.
Not yeah.
trotters. What was that?
Not trotters, craters.
Well, yeah. They are a bit like trotters. Because he's... I don't know about you guys, but... Men don't often look after themselves, do they? They don't. They just ignore it until the craters get bigger and bigger.
I do.
Justin, you do?
I look after myself, yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, you look very snappy today, I said
Thank
to you.
Thank you very much.
He's looking good, isn't he?
I think he's been on a detox.
Yeah, do you think he's been smearing that butter all over him
probably.
Or something?
That must be it. Yeah. I was going to start eating it.
You can eat it if you're a little bit peckish, yeah, because it's so good. Have a sniff. Sean, so we've got Sean next
to
Justin.
This is not your feet, this is the...
Yeah,
just in case anyone was listening still out there and they wonder why she was smelling my feet. Yeah.
Why don't you take, when you need a little bit, rub it on your elbow. Oh, he's such a man. Do you see the way he smelt? They went...
Yeah. And now he's got a big dollop of it on his nose.
You wouldn't put him on the telly in an advert, would you?
You wouldn't, no.
Put a tiny bit on your elbow and tell me during the show how your elbows feel.
It doesn't smell like lemongrass. It smells like...
Is it working for your husband, though?
It is. He's,
well, there you go, then.
He's definitely better.
It smells like Vicks Vapor Rub.
Yeah, Vicks Vapor Rub. Yeah.
Well, there is probably...
That'd be good for my cold.
That'd be good for his cold.
Top lip in your nose.
There are lots of benefits apart from softening your skin. But you can find Suzette. I'm just going to read out her number, just in case anybody wants to find out more. It's 07... I've got no glasses, so I'm squinting. Sorry about that. 07-932-495-746. And before anybody asks, I'm not working for her. She just sent me some lovely samples. It's, Sean, in answer to you, it's antifungal and antibacterial. You can find her on Shea-Me on the Twitter. Are you bored, Mr. Andrews?
No. I just wondered how my show got hijacked with an advert for smelly feet cream when I was just about to announce who today's show sponsor is, but never mind.
If there are any people that ever get those carpet burns, not sure what you might be doing.
I've got a burn here.
That is a carpet.
Can I put some on there?
Yes, do. Dab some on now.
I'll put some on there.
Yeah, put it on all your aches and pains, and we'll see at the end of the show how it feels. Okay. But carpet burns, should you get a carpet burn, if you're in the market for carpet burns.
I was playing with my one-year-old.
I'm not going to buy it.
On your knees.
I'm not going to buy it. I'm not going to buy it.
You can tell he wants to.
Yeah, I'm not going to buy it.
It's very good for carpet burns.
Thank you. Well, Sam's now liberally applying it to his elbow, so we'll...
This wasn't a carpet burn, by the way.
No.
It's your elbow, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we shall come back to Sam later and find out how that works. Oh, and Sean's got some
That's
as well.
That's an actual carpet burn.
Oh, that is a carpet burn. Oh, yeah.
What
playing
were you
with
doing?
My one-year-old daughter.
Yeah, okay, yeah. On the carpet.
I went to save her from falling over and... Got the carpet burn.
See, I wouldn't. I'd let them fall over. It's a lesson in life for them, and it saves your elbows.
And may I ask?
Yes.
Who our sponsor might be?
Oh, absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up, yes, Jules. Thank you. The show is sponsored today by a lovely group of folks called UNE. Yeah.
How do you spell
U-N-E?
It?
UNE. UENI. And you can follow them on the Twitter at UENILTD. UNE. Mm-hmm. And UNE are a really interesting company. They help small and startup businesses get onto the web. Mm-hmm. They provide web pages, websites, digital marketing, digital support, and social media support. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, they're offering a free ebook on all things digital, social media, and web for small businesses.
Sounds good.
So you can download that by either following them on the Twitter and following the link, following me on the Twitter and following the link, or going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/ UNE, and there is a download link for the book right there.
And if they get bamboozled by that, they can just go on your Twitter, Vanilla Web, and find all the links
and find
there
all
too.
The links there. Yeah, absolutely. So a huge thank you to them for sponsoring today's show. We really do appreciate it. And do download their free ebook. It is a very interesting, simple to read, easy document full of basic tips to get you started. So thank you for that. And
we all love a tip.
We do indeed. So that's that. Hey, but we'd like to hear from you. The businesses out there in the southeast of England and further afield. We've got listeners today from Turkey, the east coast of America, France.
Hong Kong.
The Canary Islands and various places in between.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So thank you all for listening in. If you want to interact with us on the show, there are a number of ways you can do it. You can, in fact, call me. On 01233 220035, that's Ashford, 01233 220035. You can email us at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk, but by far and away the easiest way to interact with us live on the show is to tweet me at VanillaWeb using the hashtag BeBunker. We have in fact had 1,934,763,003 tweets. Yeah, we're one tweet down.
You know why?
Why?
August, they're all
They're on holiday. Yeah. Someone's gone on holiday and missed a tweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we have got tweets, we have got emails, and we've got a packed lineup of guests for you to talk to, listen to, and hear from on today's show.
I walked in today and thought it was a football match.
Exactly,
so much testosterone in this studio.
We all look like footballers.
If anyone can handle it, Jules, it's you, we thought. Yeah. For some reason, we have an all-male lineup today. I'm not sure why.
I do like an all-male lineup.
Do you? Oh, here we go. She's back.
All with footballers.
Yeah, absolutely. And carpet burns on their elbows. Yeah. It's all a big giveaway, isn't it? I'll tell you what then, Jules, do you want to kick us off?
I don't mind.
You can surprise me. You can read a tweet or you can read an email. I really don't mind.
Well, that scuppers me because I usually like to do what you say I can't do. So
yeah, I know.
You've now
That's
given
why
me
I did it.
Carte blanche. I'm really excited about this. The Eastwell Manor is going to be unveiling even more significant improvements in 2017 to its hotel and services. I'm a big fan of Eastwell Manor. Beautiful place, gorgeous building. And perhaps it did need a bit of titivating. So they say they're staying true to our heritage and they're everything you'd expect in an English country house hotel. Think antique furniture, wood panelling, stone fireplaces, elegant bouquets of flowers. Our style, they say, is a happy marriage between stately and eccentric British fancy.
Mm-hmm. We've done. Oh, I like the sound of that. Eccentric British fancy.
Fancy.
Sounds that. Like Jules's PR pieces, doesn't it?
We've done our best to create an atmosphere of cosiness and to provide a sense of relaxation from the moment you arrive. However, the planned renovations will see improvements designed to connect the interior to the estate's beautiful external setting and harmonise the aesthetic throughout the interior. Developments have included a revamp of the gym and the pool, as well as our treatment rooms and spa restaurant. During the second phase of the refurbishment, we will see enhancements made to the main house, including the courtyard, reception lounge, restaurant, and corridor passageways. I love the corridor passageways. The manor restaurant outside terrace, the foyer and stairs and bar. So that's the Eastwell Manor, which is based, Paul Andrews, is more your patch. Ashford, where would you describe it?
Boughton Alloth. It's just on the outskirts of Ashford, between Ashford and Faversham. It's on the road to Faversham from Ashford, Sheldwich type area.
Absolutely beautiful. What they haven't mentioned is that they've actually revamped their spa.
Oh, yeah.
And well, it's now a Champneys.
I think the spa is a Champneys, but the hotel isn't. I don't think Champneys took over the hotel as well. I think they only took over the spa.
Mm. So it'll be interesting to see, because I think Champneys have had about 9 months there, haven't they?
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see, because it's not easy to revamp a spa when people are using it. So I will mince along. I take my mum every year to Trafalgar night, because my mum's birthday is on the 21st of October, which is Trafalgar Day. And Eastwell Manor have a fabulous Trafalgar night. We all stand up, sing Land of Hope and Glory.
Do you? Yeah. Do you take a telescope and a wooden leg?
Everything, yeah. Parrot, whatever. But my kids are always really naughty in the speeches, because they have very, very formal speeches, and my kids always start chortling. So.
Well, that's the point, isn't it?
Yeah, well, maybe.
Of being Trafalgar Day.
A little bit of pomp.
Yeah, that's good. Well, thank you for that. I want to read this as well. It's an email that I've just received from the lovely Carol Black at Best Business Events.
Oh, I love her.
And she says, "Hi, Paul, I'm sending you this. Could you give it a shout on the radio, please? At the upcoming Grow Kent conference in Ashford in November, they have a breakfast meeting before the event, and they've got a fantastic speaker now lined up for that, a chap called Mike Ogilvy. Mike travels the world inspiring businesses to adopt a profit culture in their business to ensure long-term growth in profitability. And his tagline is, profit is not a dirty word. Having profit culture is something that many businesses seem embarrassed to discuss. And he's going to be talking about that. Now, they have a rather nice offer for you. If you book soon to attend the conference, you can go to the breakfast for free. So you get a lovely breakfast and you get to hear Mike and you're there already for the conference that
you booked. That's amazing. That's a really good deal.
And you can book in a number of ways, but the easiest, because I can't find it, something's buzzing here and I'm not sure what it is. Someone's phone's buzzing. It's still on. Mine was on for a while. So I was the original culprit. So
you were tinging.
Shift the blame.
Yeah, exactly.
When is this said
It's 30th of November, so there's plenty of time.
Where is it?
It's at the Ashford International Hotel. Mm-hmm. But what they're saying is there's a limited number of places on the breakfast and they go quite quick. So you need to book it fairly soon if you're going to do it. And there's an easy way to do it. If you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk and click on the Best Business Events tab, all the details for booking are there.
So that's
the easiest way to do that. So do that.
Cool. Oh, this is a bit of scandal on my Twitter line. Laura Burton Lawrence was replying to something and she says, whoops. And then I try to look at what the whoops was and it says the tweet's been deleted.
Intrigue. Bit of come on, Laura, spill the beans.
Now,
what have you been up to?
I really, really want to know what it was.
Yeah. Gossip Central.
And she said she's really, really looking forward to the show, looking forward to hearing from Justin and all your other guests. Ooh. Let's tell you who the guests are. So we have Jeremy Kitt.
Good afternoon.
We have Sam Donde with another bit on.
Donde. Hi.
But isn't there another bit?
Smith. I've got the boring bit. The Donde is from my wife.
Oh, and then you've tagged
she's got
on.
Italian blood, so I've taken.
But
some
it's a little bit like Donde.
Donde.
Donde. Donde.
Spanish.
Is it
where?
I think that's Spanish. I think that's... Yeah. I think
it's where.
Don't tell my father.
Oh, does it?
Where?
You'll be in massive trouble.
Where's Smith?
Molto bene italiano.
Sì.
My...
Tu parli...
Solo un poco.
Sì? Pochissimo.
Oh, here we go.
Then
I think
we've
the wrong show. I understand a word of that.
Then we've got Sean Power, who is like Superman, really, even with his name. And then, of course, we've got the fabulous Justin.
Thank you, Jules.
From Creative Motion.
Yes.
Good. Yeah. Still creative.
Still creating, yes.
Yeah. And in motion.
And in motion, absolutely.
Justin Dean. Meet Bean. Dean.
Dean, yeah.
Good. Right. I've had a tweet from Trace Creative and they say, VanillaWeb, can we please have a shout out promoting our 20% off for local businesses running until the 27th of August? There's a 20% discount for local businesses and they are based in East Kent, Trace Creative. They're a fairly new company and they are web digital marketing agency. So do follow them on the Twitter, @trace_creative, and you can find out about their discount offer. What you got, Jules?
Well, also we've heard from Tracy Ferguson. Good morning, Tracy. She says, curmudgeonly, Jules. Haven't heard that word for ages and ages.
It's because you haven't been on.
It's because you haven't been too curmudgeonly, probably. Because as I remember last month, you had a spring in your step. But she says the Suzette Shea, which is SUZETTE_SHEA, Suzette Shea cream, her favourite is lavender. I don't have a lavender one, so... What have you lost? I'm going to read a lovely email here, which has just been slung onto my desk. Mm-hmm. The first Wednesday networking, 2nd of August, it's the Vine Cricket Club, Seven Oaks Vine, and it's, I'm going to read out the sat-nav. It's TN13-3UH, 10:30 to 12 o'clock. And they say, we hope you can join us at Seven Oaks' first Wednesday networking event on the 2nd of August. Oh, is that... Today?
Tomorrow.
Okay,
Manana.
Gosh, it's the 1st of Domani. August. Hello to all Leos. Dr. John as well. Dr. John's a Leo.
Oh, Sean's a Leo too.
My birthday next Monday.
Really?
Yeah.
Happy birthday. This event, they say, is kindly sponsored by Seven Oaks Vine Cricket Club. It's the only event the Seven Oaks Chamber are running in August, so we encourage our Westerham and Swanley members to join us. And the charity nominated by the Vine Cricket Club is the Seven Oaks Lions Club, talking of Leos. The suggested contribution to the raffle is £2. And the prize, Justin, will be a bottle of Prosecco, ooh, which nice. We could share.
We could, couldn't we?
I'll have 3/4. You have a glass because you'll be driving.
Always the same.
Yeah. The winner will be announced on our social media channels and in our monthly newsletter. You can go to info@sevenoakschamber.com to find out more. And you can also phone 01732455188. So that's the 2nd of August, manana, at the Seven Oaks Vine Cricket Club in Seven Oaks.
Sounds good.
10:30.
I live just behind it.
So you go
to your
lovely place. I do indeed.
Yeah. So we'll stay at your house, sir.
That's it.
All round to Sean's.
All round to Sean's.
All round to Sean's. No worries.
Let me just get the address.
You heard it here first. Do you know what we're going to do now?
Tunage already?
We're going to play a bit of cheeky tunage.
So you bring it in very early now.
No, no, we're late. We're 3 minutes late.
This is Going to Barbados.
No, almost. It is a holiday tune.
That's the same lineup. Oh, we're going.
No. Wait for it.
I know what it is.
Go.
Club Tropicana.
It's Club Tropicana.
That
wham!
That's the same intro as... I love this. Shamey died. George. Mike.
I know who you meant.
I love
it. I thought that took the sting out of what I was about to play. You know, happy summer tune, and then you start talking about, you know... Anyway.
Still, the other one's still alive. Yeah.
business will grow if you take advice from people who've been there and done it. See and hear world-class business experts in masterclasses and workshops at the only business conference worth visiting. The Grow Kent Annual Conference, November the 30th at the Ashford International Hotel. Get tickets at growkent.co.uk.
Rift Accounting. Safety in numbers. Riftaccounting.com.
Right, time for work. I'm off to Channel Facilities Management. Oh, didn't I say? I don't work for them. What I mean is, I don't start work without them. Channel Facilities Management is where local businesses go for no-hassle, peace-of-mind commercial cleaning, security, janitorial supplies and facilities management. Operating a safe, green and eco-friendly service with no chemicals used. Channel Facilities Management. Don't start work without them. Just call 0800 612 4415 or visit channelfm.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Need help promoting your Kent business? Join our supplymybusiness.co.uk community today and start connecting your Kent business for just £20 per month.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on this Tuesday, the 1st of August, with me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin. You're listening to us on Kent Business Radio, Biz Radio, and channelradio.co.uk. We've got loads of guests to talk to you, and we're going to talk to our first guest very shortly. We've got loads of tweets coming in as well. Funnily enough, since Jules introduced Smelly Butter into the show, we've had a tweet.
Can we call it Scented Butter?
What?
Can we call it, you know, Scented Butter? You're such a boy.
Only if they pay me.
Smelly Butter.
Smelly Butter.
It's scented with, you know, lovely organic oils. Yes. Handmade. Mandarin oil.
Do we have to run a bath and put candles out before we use it and all that? Is that how it goes?
Do you know what? I did that on. We were down on the beach on Sunday night, me and my new husband, and he bought pork chops down. We had a barbecue about 9 o'clock. And I said, oh my God, you know, 9 o'clock. School night next day, you know. And when we got back, I lit some candles in the bed and put on a little bit of music.
Will he go out? I would have done. all right, love, if you're doing that, I'm going to the pub.
And my daughter had bought me this candle from Las Vegas. Sid had bought me this lovely candle, which is
nice one, Sid.
Like a toffee smell. But she spent hours choosing it from Las Vegas. And like everything in Las Vegas, it's completely over the top. And he came and he said, cool, his bedroom smells like bloody toffees, he said. Yeah, so we had to open the windows. It was open. And then the neighbours could hear us.
Go, Gav. Nice one. Anyway, as I was saying before I was interrupted by the toffee story, we've had a tweet from Athelbrae, and they say, Vanilla Web Business Bunker, could you give us a shout out, please, for our reflexology sessions, hands or feet?
Wow.
Yeah. To aid staff relaxation and mental health. And any business can call us in to help. So do follow them on the Twitter, Athelbrae Limited, A-T-H-E-L-B-R-A-E, L-T-D is their Twitter handle, Athelbrae Limited. Give them a follow. If you want some reflexology, if you want your feet massaged, then they're the folks for you.
Where are they based?
I'm not sure.
Well, that's not good enough. Find out.
Yeah, sorry. What you got?
Well, I'm just a bit perturbed. I'm on this. You know I'm a Mac girl. I can't even do a hashtag on this keyboard.
Justin, for goodness sake.
So I've just had to put something out with that hashtag. Yeah. Okay, LinkedIn for Business. This is interesting. LinkedIn is a fantastic way, as you know, Bunker listeners, of growing your customers and your business and giving you a huge competitive advantage. If you're not using it to its full potential, you are missing out on the huge benefits. Mm. So now is the time to generate more business and be the expert, and the business will come to you. So when I hear you cry, it's Thursday the 14th of September at 9:30 till 12:30. It's at the Churchill Square Business Centre in Kings Hill, West Morling.
Oh, that's just around the corner from us.
Okay. The postcode is M for Mother, E for Egbert, 194YU. And to book, please go to workshopskent.co.uk or look on the Kent Business Bunker radio.
Fantastic. We've had a tweet from Felicity at Cheeky Chairs.
Oh,
and she's shown me a picture of my chair.
Yeah. Your chair?
My chair. She's doing a new home office chair for me with a flamingo cover. It's gorgeous.
Really?
Yeah, come on, hurry up. I want it.
You've gone all Beach Boys.
I have, yeah.
Is it a pink flamingo?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, I say. That's great.
Nice. It's a lovely chair. Have a look.
I want one.
Cheeky Chairs on the Twitter. Have a look.
I will. I have tweeted her quite a lot, and she doesn't, when I copy her in, she doesn't notice. I'm going to ring her up and lecture her after the show.
Really?
Or maybe she doesn't like me.
Are you sure?
She might not like me.
Are you sure you've done that?
Yeah, I have done. I will speak to her later. Don't miss the leading construction event for the South East, attracting 3,000 visitors and 200 exhibitors. Just take a look below, they say. Well, that doesn't work on radio, so I'll tell you. Hurry up now, they say. We have 600 free Meet the Buyer appointments available, but be quick as appointments are allocated in order of you booking. What you can find. You can find out how to take advantage of billions of projects, major developments and regeneration projects update. The latest on digital construction, including an update on BIM, B-I-M. I don't know what BIM is, but I'm sure Paul Andrews knows. Mm-hmm. Construction in the 2025, he's Googling it now. How can we develop talent for the construction sector, improving the competitiveness of the market? What is stopping you building, they ask. And the Thames Tideway Tunnel development update. And there's a free Meet the Buyer with over 600 free appointments, as we've just said. So this is Thursday the 5th of October, Kent Event Centre near Maidstone, mm-hmm. also near Justin,
yeah.
8:30 to 4:30. There's a free conference and exhibition. If you want to know more, please give Penny a ring on 01732 758 530. And, of course, you can go on to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/category, /business-events.
Cool. I want to tell you about this. I've had a tweet from G&G Charity FS. That's their Twitter handle, G&G Charity FS. Mm-hmm. It's the G&G Fashion Show. Join us at Gorillas and Gowns Charity Fashion Show at the Port Lim Hotel on Friday the 29th of September. It's a charity fashion show. And the fashion designers are the lovely Caroline Bruce, but also a young lad called Josh, who is just 12, wow. who has designed some absolutely stunning clothes.
Wow.
The whole event is in aid of the Aspinall Foundation. Right. And we help, I say we because I'm the master of ceremonies at the event.
Are you?
And the lovely Amanda is organising the event.
Is she?
All the proceeds are going to the Aspinall Foundation. Mm. And we're doing some work with gorillas in the Congo.
Well, I think you'll fit in very well with gorillas.
I knew you'd say that. I knew you'd say that. That's how I got the gig.
Knowing your manners.
And that's how I got the gig. They found someone that looked enough like a human gorilla to do it.
You were going to say you were Tarzan.
Yeah. I don't think I'll get away with that, Jeremy.
He'll probably present it in a loincloth. That sounds like a great event.
It's fabulous.
Remind me when it is.
You're not coming because you've already told me you're not coming. You're in Hong Kong. Sorry, it's on the 29th of September. If you want to book your place, it's Butterflies and Dreams EP. butterfliesanddreamsep.co.uk/gorillas.
She's listening, you know. If you get it wrong, you can't.
I'll get told off.
There'll be trouble.
But if you just follow the Twitter handle or follow me because I've been tweeting it as well.
Have you?
Yeah. Gorillas and Gowns. Charity fashion show, 29th of September.
Sounds like a great event.
It's going to be fabulous.
Where is young Josh from?
I'm not sure.
Okay, we will find out.
Somewhere in Kent.
Lovely.
Yeah. It's going to be a fabulous event.
Well, you'll have to up your fashion stakes when you're on stage, won't you, if you're at that sort of event? You will. You'll have to up your game.
What are you trying to say?
You've got this flounce on in the same
just
blue shirt.
Your gorilla suit out.
Your feet smell nice.
Yeah, but that's it. That's all it. You're right. See, as long as my feet are okay, if I go barefoot with smelly feet, it'll be fine, won't it? I'll get away with it.
If you have some shea butter, you know the film Gorillas in the Mist. I'm sure you've
seen
that.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, you cry when you see that, don't you? You know the film Gorillas in the Mist. You better watch it before the do.
Diane Fossey.
Yeah, absolutely.
Beautiful.
Anyway, enough of all that. I want to talk to our guests. I'm fed up talking to you.
Who are we going with first? Jeremy Kitt?
Yeah, we're going with Jeremy Kitt. Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, there you are.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Introduced in stereo badly. Sorry, Jeremy. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome you to the Business Bunker Show for the first time. Now, I know you do lots of different things, but we're going to primarily be talking about the book, what you have written. Yeah.
Like what I wrote.
Like what you wrote. You got it. Yeah. So why don't you kick off by telling the listener a little bit about Jeremy?
Okay, dear listener. The book is called Making Happiness a Habit. It's a self-help book, and it's primarily designed to promote individual happiness. Right. What it's not a, a lot of philosophical ramblings or musings. It's actual practical advice on things that you can do to make yourself happy. The way that I look at it, in a way, we're all here for a relatively short time. You know, we've got maybe 70, 80 years on this planet. I heard someone once say, you know, we were like a tourist on this planet. So I think it's incumbent upon all of us to make our lives and the people around us as happy and as pleasant as possible.
Yes, see?
Are you listening?
Make my life happy.
So what I did was, my background is just a little bit about myself, is I actually run a web design business, but what my background is I've got a degree in psychology, so for some years I've always been interested in psychology, sociology, social anthropology. And the reason I wrote this book, about 3 years ago, my son Lewis was about to go to university, and we sat down. I thought I should give him some sage advice, like a good father.
The
old dad talk.
Computer science.
Right. Oh, wow.
The old dad talk coming out there,
And I thought, well, I knew he wasn't going to listen.
Exactly. Yeah, whatever.
So we sat down and we had this chat. And, we, you know, we thought, well, what's important in life?
Yeah.
And we decided, well, actually, what's really important is to try and be happy. And so, you know, I thought, well, yeah, that is true, but how do you actually do it? And so for the next 3 years, on and off, I just sort of read around the subject. Read lots of self-help books, lots of books on psychology, etc. And thought, well, okay. And one of the things I noticed it when you start to read about happiness is that it's full of paradoxes. In fact, the very definition happiness is a paradox. It means two separate things at the same time. On the one hand, happiness is a state of mind. And on the other hand, it's an emotional state. What do I mean by that? Well, happiness as an emotional state. Say, for example, you've just scored the winning goal against Germany in the World Cup final. How do you feel?
How did you know that?
Ecstatic.
How did he know?
This is an
know?
Example. So that's happiness as an emotional state. But on the other hand, we use the same word happiness. If I said, I've just talked to my financial consultant and he's given me a plan. I now know that my family's financial future is secured. How do I feel happy? Don't feel ecstatic. I feel contentment. I feel well-being. You know, I feel that sense of one is almost sort of relaxed and passive long-term. Sure. The same word, happiness, means ecstatic, means fleeting, and means something is happening almost instantaneously. And we use the same word for both. How do I reconcile the two? I say that basically, if you take an aggregate of lots of happy experiences, and they will contribute to your long-term happiness. And my book is really about developing your long-term happiness.
Okay, that's interesting and fascinating. Many years ago, I worked as a motivational speaker.
Oh, great.
Okay, and I talk a lot about this kind of thing. And one of the things that you come across, and you must relate to this as a psychologist and someone that studied this deeply, a lot of people seem to equate the mental state of happiness with things that happen to them, yeah? When in fact, it can be totally the other way around.
Absolutely agree with you 100%. I think we are largely responsible for our own happiness. And lots of people say, don't they, that you know things happen in life that I can't control, therefore I can't control my happiness. Now, there was some interesting research that was done back in 1978, published in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology. And what they did was they measured people's happiness before and after life-changing events. Okay, and these life-changing events were some good and some bad. They were, on one, certain people won vast sums of money, you know, life-changing sums of money, and the others were critically injured in road accidents, and so that they were permanently injured, and some of them were paralysed. And what they found was that they measured, we all have a kind of a default level of happiness, it's kind of an average, it goes up and down, but before that event we'd be happy, the terrible or the good event would happen, and then within a relatively short time, within 2 or 3 years, you default back to your level of happiness.
To how you were.
Yeah. So it may be that these long that these life-changing events don't have the long-term effects that we do think they have, and that our happiness is in our own hands.
It's really interesting you say that. From a different perspective, one of the things that I read many years ago was a chap called Hertzberg.
Right.
And Hertzberg developed a thing that he called a maintenance theory. Now, he was talking about motivating people at work. And one of the things that people think motivate them is getting a pay rise or a promotion. but he found that didn't at all. On exactly the same basis as you just identified, Jeremy, they have a level and there's a blip of excitement when it's first announced and then it goes back. And the funny thing about the experiment was that if you gave somebody a pay rise, their motivation didn't really go up. But if you came to them and went, "Oh, I'm really sorry, you were the wrong person," and took it away again, they got incredibly demotivated by it. So it was kind of what their default set was anyway.
Exactly. Mm. Well, there's some interesting work on done on happiness at work. Mm. The University of Warwick, about, I think it was 2014, published some results of some research that they'd done. And what they basically did was said, if we make people happy, how will that affect their output in terms of the quality and the consistency and the amount of work that they produce? So what they did is they took two groups, an experimental group and a control group. Mm. And they said, and one of them, they gave them a set of standardized tasks to do. One of them, the experimental group, they played some comedy clips to them, and which made them happy. And then they found that their actual output in terms of quality of the work and the output, the amount of work they were doing, went up. So then they thought, well, it may be this phenomenon that you've just been talking about. So they did it again over a period of time. And every time, the happier people had better quality and higher output in terms of their work. Mm. So then they changed it again and said, let's do something we can actually do. It offered people sweeties and drinks and fruit and things, which made them happy. Again, it went up. So then finally they thought, I know, let's look at some real-life events and things that we can't control. So they looked at people who, for example, had something very pleasant happen in their life or a tragedy in their life, and that had a massive effect upon their output. So what I think is important, really, is that it is worth investing in the happiness of your people as a business, not just because you will get better and higher quality in terms of the output, but also the more... the people feel involved. It's they're not for people to be excited about their work. It's not just about how much they're paid. Mm. It's about their commitment. It's about how much they feel valued. It's about how much they understand the role. How much value that you put on how empowered they are. I think that's the word I'm stretching for.
I totally get that. I mean, would it be fair to say that? The quality of happiness is a personality attribute. It's how you choose to think about things.
It is, I think you can change that yourself in terms of if you think about your personality. It's really a result of three things: the things you do, the things you say, and the things you feel.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's your emotions, your behaviour, and your values and attitudes, and all three interact with each other all the time, don't you? Because we can see that in advertising. Yeah. You know, advertising, they try to manipulate you on an emotional level. They show lots of pictures of little children and happy families to change
puppies.
Your behaviour. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Or they try to check. They bombard you with slogans, catchphrases to try and change the way that you behave. Yeah, yeah. So take those three aspects, and I say that the most important is behaviour. The reason it's behaviour is because you can make it repetitive. I've called the book Making Happiness a Habit, because by repetitive behaviour, that will influence the way that you feel and the way that you think, and you can do that, take positive habits to make yourself happy.
Fantastic. We could talk about this all day. Sadly, we're kind of running out of time.
I do realise.
Can you just hold the book up for me?
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
The book is called Making Happiness a Habit, and it's by Jeremy Kitt. And Jeremy, where can people get a copy of the book?
Okay, the book is exclusively available on Amazon.
Right.
You can buy it as a paperback or you can buy it as a Kindle. I've made the price of the book £10.01. And the reason I've done that is because Amazon charge you £2.99 postage and package for anything over £10 is free. So it was £9.99. I thought, hang on a minute, people are paying too much for this. Let's make it £10.01. You get free postage and packages.
I like it. I like your thinking. You're making me happy.
I heard that you were happy when you walked in. I thought, that's what I want to hear.
How can people find out more about you? Are you on Twitter, Facebook?
Yeah, on Twitter. Twitter handle would be at Jeremy Kitt. Facebook, Jeremy Kitt. Mm. I have a website connected with the book, which is www.makinghappinessahabit.com. Or they can telephone me on 01843 280029.
If they want a hot date.
Yeah.
If they want to be really happy.
Jeremy, thank you so much for that. A fantastic and really interesting topic. Making Happiness a Habit by Jeremy Kitt. Go and get it. on Amazon and read it.
I love the when Jeremy said about that being valued at work, very important. And my young graduate son is just starting at a new company called Softcat.
All right.
And they were voted the one of the most happy places to work, you know, for looking after. He can take his shirts in to be ironed, which I thought was great.
Isn't it interesting that the top five tech companies, you know, Google, Facebook, Apple, yeah. Microsoft, they all invest in their people.
Yeah.
You go in there, they're playing table tennis, you know, they're providing them with coffee and stuff. I'm not saying every business needs to do that, but, you know, it's indicative that the top companies in the world are all doing that.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, Paul and I play table tennis regularly, don't we?
We ping pong often. Or I pong and she pings, or something like that.
But let's not go there.
Let's not go there. Cool. Jeremy, thank you for that. I'm going to read a couple more tweets and then we're going to talk to our next guest, Mr. Sam Dondi-Smith. Yeah. Cross Keys Travel, who are a new listener. Vanilla Web. Hi, Paul. We're a proud family-run travel agency and coach company. We started with just two minibuses and now we have a fleet of coaches and a whole holiday business. So do give Cross Keys Travel a follow on the Twitter at Cross Keys Travel. And then SNS Solicitors, SNS underscore law. Law firm in Maidstone, Business Bunker, Vanilla Web. Any chance of a shout out on the show for us, please, for SNS Law? Well, I tell you what, consider yourself shouted out.
Shouted out.
Yeah, SNS underscore law. So thank you for that. It's an absolute pleasure now to welcome our next guest onto the show, Mr. Sam Dondi-Smith.
Hello.
Sam.
Thanks for the clap. Thank you. One clap,
maybe
two claps.
Maybe we should rephrase that.
Golf clap.
He's too young to know about that sort of thing, I think.
Thank you for joining us, Sam.
It's a pleasure. Pleasure to be here.
It's really
thank
good
you.
To see you.
Thank
Why
you.
Don't you kick off and tell us a little bit about Sam and about what you do?
Yep, sure. I think it follows on quite nicely from what Jeremy was talking about. I don't know if you did that on purpose, Paul.
This show is produced within an inch of its life, let me tell you.
You sit up.
It's not just thrown together, Sam.
You sit up for weeks.
Yeah.
I was up late last night doing this.
I thought it was much. My background is working with people with dementia. So I'm a therapist, occupational therapist.
Yeah.
And one of my, obviously, dementia is an enormous national and international challenge.
Yeah.
In that it's a growing population, and my background was about working with those people and working with organisations that support those people, mostly in the health service, so statutory. Left health service a year and a half ago to set up Interactive Me.
Right.
And my passion really is about improving the lives of people with dementia, particularly in care homes. Sadly, I believe that there's a lot of people that live in care homes that are hidden, are not seen by the public, and when you go in and you see some of the care that is provided, this care in my mind is not necessarily always good care,
sure.
which is one of my biggest motivations really, and my other love is one of my other loves is technology.
Mm-hmm.
So about a year and a half ago, I thought, okay, well, how can I improve somebody's life who's in a care home or who has dementia in the community using technology. And obviously dementia is a condition that affects people mostly around their memory, mostly around kind of short-term memory, and that memory deteriorates as somebody's diagnosis progresses. And if you can imagine somebody who's got a memory deterioration and a functional deterioration, so they maybe lose their ability to care for themselves, to have a normal conversation. When somebody then is admitted to a care facility, whether that be a care home or care organisation, the essence of that person, so what makes them up, what kind of makes them themselves, can often get lost. So I wanted to kind of create an application, so a kind of piece of software and a service that's wrapped around that software to support that person's life story, their likes, their dislikes, their what makes them tick, what they love, and who they are really. I wanted to set up Interactive Me as an app and a service that can support somebody and their family to do just that. So
can I interrupt you there? Because I'm loving what you're saying, and I just want to kind of chuck a couple of things in there. First and foremost, I get what you're saying. Recently, I went on a dementia in the workplace workshop, held by the Medway Dementia Action Group at Kelly Holmes's cafe in Hildenborough. Big eye opener. Obviously, dementia is something that affects all parts of the community. We tend to relate it to old people, but it isn't just old people that have dementia.
Yep.
But interestingly, based on what you were just saying, a few weeks ago, I had a chap called Leon Steer on the show, and Leon is the chief executive of Abbey Field Society, and they run dementia homes. Mm-hmm. And we were having this conversation that started off me talking about my nan and him talking about people with dementia, about memories. And I was saying that, you know, my nan, when she was in her late 80s, early 90s, she couldn't, you know, she couldn't remember my name. She'd come in and she'd go, I don't know who you are. But she could remember if she had peas or gravy for lunch in 1914.
Yeah.
And she, you know, she could tell you the whole of the day as it unfolded. And talking to Leon about that, and I happened to mention you to Leon while he was here and what you were doing.
Yeah.
And he was saying that is just so good, because a lot of dementia sufferers actually do still have quite good long-term memory. And it's their short-term memory that they can't do things with. And the stories they tell are absolutely unbelievable, some of them. To capture that is fantastic.
I mean, the common analogy with dementia can be a bookcase. If you think of a bookcase, and each of those books is a memory. And one side of the bookcase is the most recent memory, and the other side of the bookcase is the most distant memory, so maybe childhood, growing up, etc. And if somebody is diagnosed with, an Alzheimer's type of dementia, the book at the far end, which is the most recent memory, is toppled. And that, in turn, then knocks down some of the other memories. So absolutely, like you say, Paul, some of those earlier memories, particularly when somebody's, I believe it's when somebody has the best sense of who they are as an individual and what gives them most purpose, you can unlock those memories using prompts, so using triggers. So what we do as a service, we work with care organisations, care homes, and we're also in discussions with community care organisations. And we support that organisation to build up a profile of that person. So that can be gathering photographs of that individual when they were younger, favourite music, favourite videos, and prompts from family members. And we put all this together into a profile that care staff can access on a tablet or on a phone, any kind of internet connected device, and suddenly they're able to, one, identify those people as individuals. Give you an example. I went to a home, spoke to a manager, said, did you know that one of your ladies went out with David Attenborough when she was at school? And she said, no, I had no idea. And I pointed her out. And of course, then suddenly that person or that manager looked at that resident that she thought she'd known for years very, very differently.
In a different way, absolutely.
So talk to me about David Attenborough when you're at school, you know.
It's fascinating, isn't it? Because we look at old people and we see them as they are, we don't really think about how they were.
Yeah.
And of course, right at this moment in history, people in their 70s, 80s and 90s probably all lived through one of the most traumatic periods in human history in the 20th century, and have got a multitude of stories to tell. But you look at them as a little old person and you just kind of ignore them.
And all people need, particularly care staff, the care staff that we train in care homes, all they need is that prompt to start that conversation. And then suddenly that person that person's memories are unlocked, and they open up, and they prompt a conversation. And the evidence base around a lot of these kind of tools is that there's the social interaction as a result is what improves somebody's quality of life, is what improves levels of care. It's what care homes are trying to achieve. It's very, very difficult to achieve what we call in kind of the care industry, person-centred care. So actually trying to identify that person as an individual is really difficult to do. But what Interactive Me can do is provide care organisations with those prompts to unlock that memories for people.
Absolutely. Yeah. And fun enough, coming back to what Jeremy was talking about as well with happiness and his overall thing. And it's interesting when you talk to people who relive memories, even if the memories are quite traumatic and horrible, but at a distance, it actually inspires them to even talk about it eventually.
And
they'll treat it as a laugh, you know, because at 90 years of age, they survived it. And, you know, do you know what I mean?
So
you can hear people tell the most horrendous stories and you think, oh, my goodness me. And then they'll laugh. Really?
Yeah. There can be some therapeutic benefits, definitely.
Yeah, exactly. It's cathartic absolutely. To talk about.
But my main motivation is walking into a care home and seeing residents sat around, not talking to anyone, staff getting on with their kind of daily tasks. And, you know, this is 2017. It was the same situation 10, 15 years ago, and not much has changed. So that's what... that's what I want to do with Interactive Me. So
fantastic! Yeah, no, it's really brilliant.
Really exceptional idea. Exciting.
Thank you.
It's funny because you lose sight of things. I recently lost my dad, and at the funeral, a bunch of guys turned up at the funeral, and I kind of went, "Oh wow, that's really nice of you to be here. What inspired you to come?" And he went, "Well, your dad did so many things for us." And I'd completely forgotten forgotten because, you know, my dad was old and, you know, but, you know, 40, 50 years ago, he basically what it was, he was a big supporter of his local cricket club and their pavilion got blown down in a storm. And my dad owned a building company and he went and just built on a brand new pavilion and went, there you go, have that.
Wow.
And every single surviving member of that team turned up at his funeral.
Yeah.
And I'd completely forgotten the story.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And that kind of thing really kind of, oh, blimey.
It's very sad. You know, I remember myself when my nan passed away and the chappy who was doing the talk kind of spoke about these different stories about myself. Had no idea, but this is a tool that can be used by grandchildren with their nan on their phones, on their tablets.
One of the things I do like about old people with things like that, though, is they get to the point where they're very indiscreet, and they will tell you hook, like, and sinker some of the things they got up to when they were younger, and that's brilliant.
Yeah.
That is really brilliant. And
how differently you look at somebody.
Yeah, exactly.
After they've said those kinds
of
stories.
you go, wow, you're a girl, you are. Yeah. Go for it.
It's that moment that I'm trying to get to, particularly with care staff. Somebody moves into residential care home.
I think the other side of that, which is presumably one of the reasons that you've done this, and you've highlighted it already, but I just want to emphasise it again, is it gives the staff working in a care home a completely different perspective on the human beings that they're dealing with.
Yeah.
It makes them see them in a completely different light. You know, they're not just a bundle of old skin, basically. And I just think that's fantastic.
I think that's it. I mean, there's benefits for the families, but my main driver is trying to make that environment a different one and a different culture, which is an enormous challenge, don't get me wrong. But, you know, I like a challenge, so why not?
Absolutely. And the thing is, although dementia isn't necessarily a disease of old age, of course it does affect lots of old people.
Sure.
And as the population ages and we live longer, there are more and more incidents of dementia, and there's a whole range of different types of dementia as well.
You can be quite young and get...
I've met people in their 30s, late 30s with a diagnosis. And, I think by 2025, I think the numbers are to reach 1 million people just in the UK.
Yeah. So terrible.
What is it they're actually linking?
Sure.
Yeah.
What is it they're actually linking dementia to?
This is Justin Dean speaking.
Yeah, well, there's... things come out on a daily basis. If you look at the Daily Express, I think every other day they have something. You know, if you eat too much chocolate, then you'll probably get dementia.
I thought it was foreigners.
If you touch too many foreigners, you're probably going to get Alzheimer's. Truth is, they can't put their finger on it. Absolutely, there was a report out.
It can be your tinfoil, can't it?
Last week, there was a report out last week where there's certain factors that can increase the risk of getting dementia.
Yeah.
So that's things like diabetes, health. General kind of fitness.
Yeah, that
levels,
was the one that I heard about sugar. And,
I read
those kind of stuff.
I read a neurological report. I'm a student of the human brain, and I like reading stuff like that because I'm a bit sad. Yeah, and I read a neurological report that one of the mechanical symptoms is that the dendrites and axons that connect brain cells have a thing called myelin a myelin sheath that protects the inputs and outputs to a cell, because your brain actually strobes an electrical signal. And apparently in people with various forms of dementia and other degenerative brain diseases, the myelin sheath has got thin and worn away. So basically you're short-circuiting the brain. You know, where we are with that, I'm not sure, but I remember reading a paper on that a couple of years ago.
I read that Alzheimer's, one of the reasons for that was degeneration of the hippocampus in the brain.
I mean, there's certain brain shrinkage that goes on with Alzheimer's, absolutely. And, you know, they can do scans and they can see these things, but the causes that they're still miffed by, which is really frustrating. And, you know, the myelin sheath, I think that's similar with MS. I think that's the issue with MS is the myelin sheath deteriorating.
But I don't know why.
And with vascular dementia, because obviously dementia is a kind of one of these umbrella terms. There's all sorts of different types of. Vascular is obviously linked to the vascular system, so if somebody's had strokes, then you know they increase their risk of getting a vascular dementia. But bottom line is they can't put their finger on it absolutely. And from my experience, you know, I've met all sorts of incredible people that have got dementia, from teachers to pilots to cleaners to housewives. You know. You know, people ask me, you know, what is it? And I say, I don't know. It seems to be
across the board,
you know, whether somebody's, you know, worked or not worked, or whether somebody's been, you know, socially active or not. It just seems to fire randomly.
I think nowadays most people have got someone that's been affected by it.
Absolutely.
I've had
An auntie and an uncle that died from it. So you know, I've seen
I mean, this is one of the reasons for looking at dementia in the workplace, because it isn't only people at work with dementia; it's people at work who have relatives with dementia, you know, and close relatives with various forms of Alzheimer's and dementia. And it's being able to deal with that, and you know, knowing what the stress of dealing with that is as well.
Absolutely,
on the family as well.
And you know, what I'm trying to do is improve the lives of families and reduce some of that anxiety that's associated with a loved one getting a diagnosis. It's not going to solve the problem, but hopefully it can make people's lives
We had our neighbours round for an impromptu drink on Thursday night, and the gentleman has Alzheimer's, and he asked my new husband about four times, has he been to the Isle of Sheppey? And my husband answered him. Then he answered him again and again and again. Yeah. And I just said to my husband,
hard... Yeah, but that's because he couldn't believe he'd actually been to the Isle of Sheppey. Who goes to the Isle of Sheppey, for goodness sake?
Don't tell John Murden that. You know, I said, how sad that must be for his wife. It must be very hard to live with. So I think what you're doing is really, really interesting.
It's often harder for the other people, isn't it? Yes.
Yes.
We could talk about this forever.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Sadly, we're kind of out of time at the moment. Sam, if people want to find out more, which they will... What's the best way to...
Go through the website, www.interactiveme.org.uk. Twitter handles at dementia _IM. And you can email me if you've got any questions. We've got a free tips guide for carers that we send out to people, sam@interactiveme.org.uk.
Sam Dondley-Smith, thank you so much.
It's a pleasure.
Fascinating. All power to you.
Yeah.
But keep on doing what
really
you're doing.
Unusual.
Thank you.
What we're going to do now, we're going to join Abby in the newsroom, and then we'll be back after that. Here we go.
Channel Radio News Update.
Plans to increase electricity bill prices announced by British Gas have raised concerns. Costs will go up by as much as 12% next month. It's set to affect millions of customers. Major technology companies must step up their fight against extremism or face new laws. That's from the Home Secretary, Amber Rudd. She's in the US to meet social media companies. It follows a number of recent terror attacks. There's calls for schools to start teaching pupils about the benefits of breastfeeding. Latest figures show the UK has the lowest rate in the world. Police are investigating after a brick was thrown at an MP. Steve McCabe, a Labour MP in Birmingham, said it was launched by a passing motorcyclist. And a cannon, a human skull and 36 anchors. Just some of the items found during dredging work in Portsmouth Harbour. The channel's being cleared to allow the Navy's newest aircraft.